Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We're going to be all right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another wonderful episode of Wham Bam Pow. This is a podcast, a movie podcast. We talk action movies. We talk sci-fi movies. We talk news, reviews. You know what? Things that you can use. This episode, we will be reviewing the movie Noah. That will happen at the end of the episode. There will be a lot of spoilers. I know right now, you guys are listening. You're like, hold up. This dude right now, he don't sound like Cameron Esposito. And that laugh right there, that was not real Butcher. That laugh right there might have been real Butcher. But I will tell you this, Cameron and Rhea are not with us this week. They are traveling. They are doing shows on the road. If you follow them on Instagram, as you should, they were just, I believe, in Minneapolis last night. The mayor of Minneapolis came out to see them at Acme Comedy Club. And it looked like it was a fantastic show. So that's where they are. I will be your host for this episode. I am Coco Pelau, but my hair is not Coco Pelau. Ricky Carmona. And with me, I have a very special guest, co-host, that I have wanted to have on this show for quite a minute. It was finally able to work out. I've known this gentleman back from Chicago. Hilarious stand-up comedian. Wonderful actor. You might know him from a show that is called Community. Ladies and gentlemen, you are very, very lucky to have with us tonight the one and only Hollywood's own Mr. Brady Novak.
Thank you, Ricky.
Brady Novak, are you, sir?
I could not be better. First, good luck getting the rights to All Right by Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, no.
You sang it long enough where you're going to have to get the rights.
I know that was more than 6 seconds.
It was way longer. Felt like a minute and a half.
Yeah, Kendrick Lamar, friend of the show.
Friend of the show. I did not know that.
Yeah, well, see.
Well, never mind. Yeah. All rights are open.
All rights
are going to be all right.
We going to be all right. Did you hear me? Did you feel me? We going to be all right. Brady Novak is one of my friends in comedy.
You would say best friend.
I've heard you say best friend. No, I've never said that before.
I go, Ricky and I are good friends. Ricky goes, we're best friends.
No.
Come here, best friend.
I've never been in the room when I've heard that statement.
I've heard it.
I think you might be hearing that in your head. No, I don't remember saying that ever. I don't remember saying that ever.
Yeah.
Actually, I think this might have been a mistake to have you on.
Best friend, Brady. You were saying something about me.
You know what? If I could say something about you, I did mention that you are on Community.
Uh-huh.
Huge fan of that.
Thank you.
But more than anything,
I have very little to do with it.
No, you have. Brady's a very humble man.
Yes.
Brady is the writer. That's right. Producer, executive producer.
Creator, showrunner. I made the documentary Showrunners.
If you have not put Showrunners on your Netflix queue and check that out. But stay with us, everybody, because when we come back, we're going to do movie news. And as I mentioned earlier, we will be reviewing the movie Noah.
What's that now?
We will be reviewing the movie Noah.
I thought it was Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Is that what you watched?
I thought you told me to watch Paul Blart Mall Cop too. I swear you said watch Paul Blart Mall Cop too.
No, did you blart yourself?
Have you blarted?
Did you blart yourself? When's the last time you blarted yourself?
Today at 2.
We'll be doing that. We'll also be having a special segment. We'll be having a Movies That Made Us segment with a special guest, Mr. Dan Telfer, will be joining us. Very exciting. So stick around and we'll be right back. Bam! And we are back with our special guest. Oh, God damn it.
Ice just fell out of my mouth.
That is Hollywood's own Brady Novak, who is joining us in studio today. I am your host, Ricky
Hollywood
Carmona.
Hollywood does own me.
Hollywood owns
Hollywood
all of us.
Owns Already know her.
I don't feel like I moved out here as much as like I felt a tug, yeah. And I was like dragged out here.
Oh, it was a calling. You were called out here.
You know, so. What happened was, and not to jump too far ahead, but as Noah received his vision from the Creator, I myself received a vision that, Ricky, you know what your life needs? You need to go to Hollywood and live in a wonderful neighborhood.
Yeah.
You want to
make most of your life choices off of voices in your head.
Oh, absolutely. Those are the only voices that I listen to.
Thank you.
I mean, they give me strength, mm-hmm. resolve, mm-hmm.
Weakness.
Oh man, my weakness is my.
They're the up in there tells you who your best friend is. You know,
that's
always up in there.
There are times when I wonder who is my best friend. Who could it possibly be? Why and I lie down, mm-hmm. and then
Brady
I close my eyes.
And Brady comes right
and
up
I
in there.
See
Brady.
I
Novak.
See names,
Brady
and then
Novak.
I see a headshot.
Brady Novak.
And your face is
Brady,
in that
yes,
headshot.
Yes.
And then a huge red X, just no. right over that,
and
right
maybe,
over that.
Maybe
headshot.
The X is like X marks the best friend spot.
No, it's like Ex Machina is what you should
dig,
go see, Ricky.
Dig here for best friend.
X marks the not best friend spot. That's how that works. Brady, this is the part of the show now where we give you, the audience, the listeners out there, movie news, reviews, things you can use. Do you like that?
Yeah.
That is not a Kendrick Lamar lyric. I know earlier I was doing Kendrick Lamar lyrics. That's not a Kendrick Lamar lyric. So we're going to do some movie news right now.
All right.
Brady, were you aware, I was going to say yesterday, it was not yesterday, the day before, a very huge day in the action sci-fi movie universe. It is a day that is celebrated across the country, might I even say globally.
Oh, is this the the fourth Be With You?
God damn, Brady, that's my boy.
Yeah.
See,
saw,
you know what, right
I saw
now?
People talking about
right
it.
Now, you're my best friend, dude. You're
and,
my best
and,
friend,
correct
yo.
Me if I'm wrong, but
yes.
The fourth Be With You
yes.
is May 4th.
That is correct.
Yes.
And that
yes.
is also correct.
Woo!
Woo!
And it is, of course, about the movie May West.
Oh,
May West. How the May West was won.
You were so close.
Is that wrong?
That is incorrect.
All right.
You were so close.
Where was I wrong?
When you started talking. That's
right,
that's when
right.
you were wrong.
That seems typical.
May 4th is known as Star Wars Day.
How long has that been going on? Because I've never been aware of it except for a couple days ago.
Oh, really? That
yeah.
recently?
I didn't hear about it last year. I didn't hear about it the year before. Maybe because I was reading the actual news. I wonder if that's why I didn't pick it up on my news feed, because I was reading about Congress.
Oh, is that right? Well, if you saw Star Wars Episode 1, you would see...
Which one?
Episode 1.
Is that 4 or is that 1?
No. There's...
First one, 1976?
No. It was the second
one.
First one. It was
okay,
the second first one. The second first
okay.
one.
Okay.
A lot of that movie, which is so gripping...
Pod racing.
...takes place in Congress. If there's anything that young children want to see... It's space politics about spices being across the galaxy. Oh, that is what they are into. I don't know if I can recall when I first realized that May 4th was a thing. Off the top off the top of my head, I am thinking I can remember the Conan O'Brien sketch where Triumph goes to see, like all the dudes dressed
one,
up.
Which one of these goes up to Darth Vader and says, which one of these buttons calls your mom to come pick you up?
I mean, that's classic.
Yeah.
And the only reason I would think that might have been a May 4th thing, because, I mean, at that point, Conan O'Brien took place in New York, and it was all, like, on a sidewalk, and nobody was, like, wearing, like, bulky, like, nobody was, like, oh, man, it's cold out here. It seemed like it was, like, a summer event.
Oh, I see.
So I would think maybe...
You're real doing detective work.
Yeah, you know what, man? This is... I put in the hours on this show.
Don't know why it is, don't know when it is, or don't know when it started, but you can put it all together.
Yeah, I don't know if you know the True Detective Season 3. That's based on me, yo. That's based on me. But I'm pretty sure I'm 100% wrong on that. All that being said, pretty sure I'm 100% wrong on that.
I wonder why May. This we were talking about yesterday. Why not July? Why not August? And I wonder what May, what came out May 4th?
Yeah, I don't...
Oh, May the 4th be with you.
Oh, you know what?
May the 4th. May the 4th be with you.
I think it's...
You just have to hear yourself saying it. I didn't hear myself before now. May the 4th be with you.
I think it's based
on... That's why it can't be April the 4th.
Oh, yeah, that sounds
April
weird.
April the 4th. Who's April?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know any Aprils.
Luke, may April be with you. Whoa, who's April?
Wait.
Whoa, Obi-Wan, May, who is April?
I know who May is. I don't know who April is.
Slow all down right. With all these months.
There it is.
Obi-Wan.
May the 4th be with you.
Now, is Star Wars a huge, was it a big influence in your life?
Well, yeah, like I had the trash compactor as a kid. And then my rich jerk friends had the big, the Millennium Falcon.
You had the trash.
I had the window. I just had a piece of glass from the Millennium Falcon. The trash pack, yeah, the trash compactor.
The trash compactor, sure.
I think I had a Jabba the Hutt.
Ooh.
And then my mom was like, ah, these are going to be worth millions. You got to keep them in the packaging.
Mom, I want to open them up. No.
I grew up with Star Wars packaging and Gone with the Wind plates and dolls.
Oh, wow.
That's what my mom had.
Wow.
So, yeah, I had some of the toys. And then Star Wars, like, I don't know if I saw any of them in the theaters because I was born when the first one came out.
Okay.
I think I saw that one with the Ewoks. That was great. I saw
Return
that
of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Saw that was fun. And then the rest of them, you know, I saw on VHS many years later.
Did you see, now in regards to the new ones that are coming out, have you seen the trailers for the
I saw the most recently trailer. That was great.
Yeah? You got excited about that?
The one that they show Harrison Ford and Chewbacca in the end.
Who is Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford is an actor, carpenter.
Thespian?
And he...
Carpenter thespian?
I thought that was a great one.
Yeah. Chewie, we're home.
For my friends with Star Wars, they said they were kind of turned off after the last couple ones, and now that trailer turned them back on.
For sure. Absolutely.
You felt that? Because you're a Star Wars fan.
Very much a... Of the original trilogy, you know, the first
Star Wars. 4, 5, and 6.
Yes, thank you.
Did you have the trash compactor?
I did not have the trash. Oh, yeah, my parents.
You weren't a big fan.
Well, you know what? My parents weren't making that trash compactor money. They were not making that trash compactor money, Brady, I'll be honest.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think my parents were either. Mom, finally got to her.
Yeah. Star Wars was a very big, May 4th was a very big day. I believe it was that day, or maybe the day before, there are other Star Wars movies that are happening. There is a new trilogy that is coming, and then outside of that trilogy, there are spin-off movies that are coming.
Somebody just got fired.
Yes.
Somebody just got fired, and I don't even, was that a TV show? Was that a cartoon?
No, that
what
was
that even from?
That was going to be one of these spin-off movies. The director, Josh Crank, he directed the movie Chronicle. I don't know if you saw that. It came out a few years ago. Mm. It's kind of like a superhero origin story, but their original superhero and an original supervillain. Stars Michael B. Jordan, the actor who was Norman Osborn's son in the most recent Spider-Man movie. Mm-hmm. But that director was let the. They say it was an amicable split, but this director also is just finished directing the new Fantastic Four movie.
Crank, the last name, Crank.
Crank, mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you think it's just some studio head just wanting to go have him come in his office and be like, sorry, buddy, you're not cranking this one out? You think that's what, I mean, I just wonder if they play those games like that.
I think that's a very good possibility. I think, you know what, your name is not working with our marketing materials. So we're going to have you at a...
Creative differences. Well, what are you going to do, you know?
You got to feel a little bad that you are...
Well, if he's
given a Star Wars franchise, taken away.
Well, sure, but you know, if you're going to stick up for your creative vision, then you can't blame the guy or girl. You know?
Yeah. Oh, it's a guy. It's a guy
or a girl, whatever.
I mean, but it's a guy.
Well, if it's a girl in a situation, you can't blame her either.
It's a guy, Joshua Tree Crank. I'm interested to see what happens with this Fantastic Four, because I was a big fan of Chronicle.
Is it Fantastic Four?
No,
this is three,
mm. but it's the first one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Prequel.
No.
Sequel.
Starting over. Yeah, start up on the bottom, my beer. That's how that goes. The other movie news, I don't know if you've seen this. There is a movie coming out. DC has their slew of comic book movies that are coming out.
Which one's DC? Which one?
DC Comics?
I know. Which one are their character? Which one's their big character?
Superman.
Okay.
Batman.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman.
Okay. All right.
Aquaman.
Yeah.
And they have the Suicide Squad movie that is coming out. The first picture that they put out was of Jared Leto as the Joker.
I heard about that.
Yep. This week, they revealed the picture of the entire Suicide Squad sans without the Joker. We have an international audience, so I like to speak all the languages. The picture was revealed of them in their costume garb. Did you happen to see that picture?
Is the news? Did I see the picture with sans, which means without the Joker? You know, I didn't see the picture of the Joker, and I didn't see the picture sans the Joker either, or without.
Yeah.
Was it a leak?
This is something they put out. But your reaction is kind of... It's kind of what I wanted to speak to, in the sense that this is not news to me. Your wardrobe choices are no longer. I think we've evolved.
When is that movie supposed to come out?
I believe it's next year.
Okay,
they're
next
still
year.
In the middle of shooting it.
Okay.
The wardrobe choices. I think we've evolved as audiences now with movies, with how much things are accessible to us, that presenting us with outfits no longer gets us. For me, at least, it does nothing. It just tells me, yep, you're working on that movie.
Well, it does something, because here we are talking about it.
For sure. It definitely gives them free marketing.
It gives
free
them
publicity. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I mean, as free as you can get. But
there used to be a time when a costume was revealed.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking specifically when the later Spider-Man movies came out, like from Spider-Man 2, the original Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi trilogy. And then the most recent two sequels, the reboot and then the sequel after that, where they would be like, this is what the Spider-Man suit looks like.
Oh, right.
Wow.
Oh, mine was Batman with nipples. Remember that?
Dude.
That was huge.
Oh, dark parentheses night days. Oh, man. I do not want to go back there.
Yeah, but I remember that. Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, but that was a clear, like, oh, you guys don't know what you're doing anymore. If you're selling me bat nipples, then whoever has the controls, take them away from him.
They want it to be shocking. where did you see this picture of the
there is a thing that's available to all of us called the internet. And this internet, I don't know if you...
Not for me.
No?
Fan.
Oh, man. I think your budget might have gone into that trash compactor too much. Not into internet photos.
Gosh, they get us so excited about things so far ahead of time.
I mean,
when Ben Affleck was chosen as the Batman...
Yes.
And I was like, whoa, isn't he already the Daredevil? but that was, you know, 7 years before that movie came out.
Yeah.
And people were upset.
Yeah. That's kind of what I mean. We're like, when we hear these things, it's no longer like, oh, man. Oh, woo. I think it's more, okay, now what? I mean, yeah, cool. He's in it. Yeah, that's the Batman suit. I've seen it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
We have such access to... any information about Batman we want, what he looks like, what his suits look like.
Of course, there's a generation of kids seeing that picture for the first time and going, "It looks a lot like the magazine."
Yeah, but I hate children.
This world shouldn't be for children.
I am speaking about the child inside of me, not other children.
Yeah, it is. It is fascinating publicity to show a costume.
It really is. It really is, and
it's
to kind of like try and whet our appetites for it.
Yeah,
that's the movie news things you can use segment. I'm glad that you love that.
I do.
We'll be back with a special segment that we have here called "Movies That Made Us" with a special guest. Yeah, we'll be right back, everybody.
Hey, everybody, it's Barbara from the Lady to Lady podcast.
And Brandy, also from the Lady to Lady podcast.
What?
Ooh.
We are going on a tour in the Pacific Northwest starting May 11th, and we're coming to a bunch of cities. Where are we going?
We're going to Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, Eugene, Oregon, Salem, Oregon, Eureka, California, Oakland, California, Ventura, California, and stopping at the tour in Los Angeles at the UCB Sunset on May 23rd.
Ooh, and I just think you can get your tickets and info at ladytoladycomedy.com.
You are correct, Barb.
Wow, let's go get our tickets now and we'll see you out there.
Welcome back, everybody, to a Wham Bam Pow. I am your host, Ricky Carmona. We have Hollywood's own Brady Novak in the house with us.
Hello.
Yes.
I mean, still, right?
Still.
I mean, they already know I'm here.
Yeah.
It's not like I left and came back.
Brady, you deserve an intro
every time.
Every time.
That's true.
And I will
true.
Give you an intro every time.
Thank
every
you.
Every time. You're very welcome. Now, this is the part of the show, ladies and gentlemen. We have a segment called Movies That Made Us. This is a segment where we have a special guest either in studio with us or call in from an undisclosed location. And we get to hear from them a movie that shaped them as a child or as an adult, and that shaped them into the moviegoer that they are now, shaped their influences, their tastes. It is, as we say, a movie that made us. And today, past guests who we've had, Hollywood's own Emily Gordon.
Oh, yes.
Hollywood's own Jake Fogelnest.
Ah, yes.
I don't believe he lives in Hollywood.
Yes.
But one of Hollywood's favorites.
I believe he lives in New York.
I
yes.
believe that is correct.
Yes.
Hollywood's own Mr. Hollywood.
What?
The one and only.
The mayor?
One and only.
Wow.
And tonight is no different, ladies and gentlemen. We have, you may know, this man has opened for Patton Oswalt.
Who?
Hollywood's own Patton Oswalt.
Oh, my God.
The one and only. He has a wonderful album out called Tendrils of Ruin.
Oh.
He has a new album out.
I know who it is.
Oh, yeah, you do. He has a new album out that I cannot remember right now because I have drank way too many Red Bulls. But he's one of my favorites, one of your favorites, Hollywood's own from At Midnight, Mr. Dan Telfer.
Dan, I think we can hear your car. You want to turn your car down, Dan?
I think your car is exploding, Dan. Get out of your car.
Oh, no, I'm not in my car at all, man. I'm walking around with my feet.
Oh, man, I think your feet are exploding.
Feet are on fire. Got so much heat.
So tan caliente. Dan Telfer, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Ricky Carmona. You know, you were kind enough to MC my last album recording.
I do remember that.
Thank you for remember.
Yes.
It hasn't come out yet. It's going to come out this year. Do you want me to break what the album's going to be called on your podcast?
Are we about to have us an exclusive up in this piece? Are we going to get an exclusive? Yes, please, Dan Telfer, if you could.
And I have my own podcast, so this is a betrayal of both myself and my principal.
Whoa! Shots fired! Shots
Jeez.
Fired!
But it's called Ocean of Panic, and it'll be out on AST Records sometime later this year.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Ocean of Panic.
Is it ocean or plural? Oceans of Panic.
Oh, just ocean.
Oh, just ocean. One ocean, ladies and gentlemen. Ocean.
Ricky, you only need one ocean. Why are you getting greedy?
You know what, man? I love many of the oceans. My favorite ocean, Billy Ocean.
You want to know a fun fact about Billy Ocean?
Do I?
Every ocean in the world is touching each other in some way except for Billy Ocean.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Oh, Dan, you get out of my dreams. You get into my car, sir.
Well, no, I already told you I'm not in my car, right?
Damn it. You get out of those socks and you get into my car then. You know what I mean. Now, Dan, as I mentioned at the top of this, this is our Movies That Made Us segment. I am very excited to hear about the movie that you will be talking about tonight. I always make it an effort to not know what the movie is until it is said on the actual show. So, Mr. Dan Telfer, could you please share with us the movie that made you.
Yeah, this was really tough. And you know me pretty well, so I feel like you're probably like, he's just going to say fucking Star Wars.
No, but, not, no. So far, this is all going exactly as I thought it would.
Well, yeah, but it was really hard. I wanted to pick something really obscure from like some little like weird alcove of my childhood brain, but I think I got to go with Alien, Ricky.
Woo! Well chosen, sir. Alien, directed by Mr. Ridley's Hollywood's own Ridley Scott. Give it up for him.
That's right.
Is Alien the first one, or is that?
Oh, it's absolutely the first.
The
one.
First.
I really. I really couldn't get into the second one.
Aliens.
Whoa! Now, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but that's a bold statement, and I would almost equate that to saying I am not a fan of The Godfather Part II, when clearly The Godfather Part III is the best one. That is a joke. That is a joke.
Well, Ricky,
that is a joke.
Slightly different comparison, I would say.
Now, why were you not into, before we get into Alien, why not into Aliens? Because that
because
is a fan
directly,
favorite.
Those things go into each other. I honestly, like, was thinking, like, what is the action movie, sci-fi movie that totally, tonally set a pattern for me mm-hmm. and my movie-going experiences? And it's because the first one is so creepy and there's so much tension and silence and just long, like, shots of weird expanses, strange, unexplained sort of dead ends and MacGuffins.
Yes.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
That's my jam. That's... You know, and the second movie was all machine guns and, you know, I got it against Bill Paxton, but, there's just something about how fast it was and how there was just more puppets and, like, I wasn't feeling it.
No,
I remember just sitting in my aunt's living room watching it on a fucking VCR, the first one, and mm-hmm. just going, how am I sitting in a well-lit living room in McHenry, Illinois, and I'm still just creeped as all fucking get out by how dark and weird this movie is.
Can I ask you, how old were you when you first saw it?
Oh man, I was too young.
Too young to see it. Like, I love that. Absolutely, that's great.
Yeah. I was something like seven.
And was there something that led you to watch Alien, or was it one of those? Oh, this is on. I'm going to watch it. And then
it was the latter for sure. Yeah. Like wow. I come from a long line of nerdy people, or at least the generation before me was super nerdy.
Yes.
And so there was these movies playing all the time. I mean, I just have all these memories of my parents watching Ralph Bakshi movies. Ooh. And like all the Star Trek stuff, was just constantly on my house. You know, my dad did a crazy like sci-fi costume for us on Halloween that he would make at home.
Yeah.
And so it was always around. And that movie, I just remember like what, like the fucking space traveler, man.
Yeah. No,
that was just,
Space Traveler Man.
Anything I ever saw.
Space Traveler Man. Would that be like the weird like creep when they walk into that room and it's just like in the center of the room the skeleton?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The skeleton with like the elephant-y face, which you know they tried to tie in a little bit in Prometheus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you know this already, Ricky. I'll go on the record as saying I kind of like Prometheus.
Oh, again, shots fired. Shots fired. I am not a fan of Prometheus.
But you know what? You know what I like about Prometheus? It was fun to watch. It was super dumb.
Yes.
But it was like my Aliens.
Okay. Okay.
It had what I thought Aliens didn't have, which was people just being scared as fuck.
Yeah. Okay. Valid.
And you know, like there's a lot of moments in a lot of action movies where characters are panicking and the audience is going, "This is stupid. No one in this situation would react this way." But Prometheus, I thought, did such a decent job of going, you know, human beings have never gone into this part of space. They have no idea what to expect. I was totally, like, in that headspace of going, like, that's right. I wouldn't know what to expect. I guess I just make all sorts of rash decisions.
So, sure, Sure.
There's all sorts of plot points in that movie that are indefensible, that are just like, why the fuck is that happening? But I was so into the atmosphere at the beginning that I bought into it.
And I will say that for Prometheus, for as much as I am against that movie, it does get the, what is like so strong in the first Alien, it does get the tension of that movie right. Or like,
yes.
I don't know what's happening in around the corner over there, but I sure as hell don't want to go find out. Prometheus does get that right, 100%.
And that is a huge part of what I look for in movies. Like, that is why I picked Alien. Like, I fucking gobble up that why, what is behind that corner creepy stuff. I have that whole stand-up bit. It's actually on my album about fucking Mulholland Drive and the crazy homeless person behind the dumpster. Like, that, even though it is like a sad commentary on being afraid of dirty homeless people, mm-hmm. when all they are is just more unfortunate than you, there's just so much tension built up there. That every time I think about that scene, it feels like I'm going to have a panic attack.
Oh, absolutely. The first Alien movie is great at just making you feel like there's a sense throughout that movie of, and this is going to sound very cliche, but of dread. Like, oh man, this is not going to work out for these people.
No, it's not cliche at all. I think people need to remind themselves that movies that came out 30, 35 years ago were doing things for the first time that we take for granted now on such a wide, crazy scale.
Yeah.
If you rewatch Alien, you have to be the whole time just giving it props for doing stuff that no other movie has done before. I would do the same for Blade Runner. There's all sorts of goofy lines in that movie, but you gotta be like, well, it's only crazy enough that there was this big a budget science fiction movie being made at all. You know?
Yeah,
the fact
for sure.
That he says, that whole Tears and Rain monologue at the end, it might sound simplistic now, but back then it's like, this is a fucking clone robot.
For sure.
How crazy is that? There was no movie that wasn't a B movie that tried to do that.
That's my favorite moment in Blade Runner, is when Rutger Hauer gives that speech. My other favorite moments in Blade Runner are before it starts and after it ends, if you know what I'm talking about.
I think I do.
You know what I'm talking about? Okay, girl, okay. if there was one scene or one moment from the movie Alien that really stood out for you, where, I mean, I know you said you were, I think you said you were 7 years old when you watched it, but now since you've seen it, I'm assuming many times, one moment in particular where you were just like, this is why this movie is a classic, or why you're just constantly attracted to it, or to go back to it and revisit it.
Again, it's that scene with the space traveler where they're in that big sort of organic exoskeletal cave.
Yeah.
And they walk up to it. It makes no sense visually. But
yeah.
it totally has these long beats. Like, they do the same thing in Stanley Kubrick movies from the same era where you just see somebody. I mean, not to be just put it on one Kubrick movie, but I guess like 2001, where like there's just someone breathing in a spacesuit,
yeah.
A long shot. They're occupying a tiny portion of the screen, but just because they're breathing and you see all this empty space around them, you feel like you and the character are just about to float off into nothingness. You dot that with just this weird skeletal thing that looks like it's been dead for millions of years.
It's
technologically beyond us. It's like, whoa, God, ugh. I'm excited to see the next Prometheus movie, even if the writing is absolutely terrible, because terrible movies can be extremely enjoyable for me.
Dude,
they get the atmosphere right, I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely. As you were mentioning Stanley Kubrick, I was immediately pointing at the microphone and at Brady, who I wish would keep it down, please, Brady. Please keep it down. Because that moment when they walk in and they see the skeleton there, I think one of the last shots in that scene is a close up of like the face of it, and there is just like this crazy music playing behind it. And in my mind, I always go to 2001 when he's like,
yeah,
traveling beyond the stars and just that crazy music is playing and it cuts to him. And then what does Dan Telfer do? References that shit, son. And that's why we have Dan Telfer on the show. because he knows what's up, right, Brady?
That's right. Dan, you said it was hard to choose.
No, Brady, I'm sorry. We are going to have to wrap this segment up.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I could tell that was going to be a hell of a question,
Brady.
Yeah,
you could tell the way I was hunching over the mic.
I mean,
almost like Charlie Rose there for a second.
Hollywood's own Charlie Rose will be here next week. This. Dan, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. I know it was kind of difficult to get you on, but we really appreciate it. You're one of my favorite people in general, as you know. Brady is not a big fan of you. He was mentioning
he's my favorite general.
Dan, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. Is there anything you would like to promote outside of Ocean of Panic? Will be coming soon from a Special Thing Records. Anything else you would like to add, sir?
Well, how soon is this episode dropping?
This episode will be dropping, I believe, on Thursday, tomorrow.
Oh, great. Well, June 3rd, I'll be doing the Meltdown in Los Angeles. In August, I think the 15th, I'll be performing in Chicago. Look for that.
Nice. Solid.
Mostly I'll be doing that midnight and working over here, doing some writing projects I can't talk about yet.
Solid.
And then listen to my podcast, The Nerd Poker on Earwolf with Brian Posehn and friends. We play Dungeons and Dragons. It's a good time.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Do that. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for our boy, Dan Telfer. Dan, you're great. We thank you for coming on Wham Bam Pow. And at one point, we'd like you to come on the show as a guest and really get to sit down and talk to you. Sound good?
Sounds awesome, Ricky.
Awesome, buddy. You're dope. Brady, would you like to say a poem or something to Dan before we leave?
Dan is great. Dan is good.
Oh, you know what? Brady. We're going to have to wrap it up.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Dan, you take care, buddy.
Bye, Dan.
You too, sir.
All right, and we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about our movie, Noah.
He was wrong about everything.
Hey, you like t-shirts, right? How about a mug? Are your walls looking a little bare? Visit MaxFunStore.com and cover all of these bases and more. We just added some amazing new shirts and posters, so visit today and outfit your home and torso with the freshest Max Fun merch. MaxFunStore.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, once again to Wham Bam.
Do you want that energy level?
All right, let's take that one more time.
That seems pretty low.
All right, hold on one second. Oh, hell no! Welcome back to this piece that is wham, what, bam, what, pow, what?
Now that's too much.
Let's take that one more time. Lindsay, keep all this in the show, please. Oh, welcome back, everyone.
Artsy, smart people.
Just what a segment we had with Mr. Daniel Telfer joining us for a Movies That Made Us segment. Just really a huge fan of Alien, Ridley Scott's Alien. Brady, you're a fan of Alien? You've seen the movie Alien?
No, I have seen the movie Aliens.
Jesus Christ. I love
the movie Aliens, though. Oh, Aliens is so good.
Oh, man.
I bet I would love Alien.
No,
Alien is the one.
No.
Alien.
All right. We're going to take it one more time, Lindsay. We're going to do it one more.
Oh, and I also saw his Apple commercial. I saw Ridley Scott's Apple commercial in 1984.
The one with the sledgehammer.
Ran once during the Super Bowl. That's a Ridley Scott joint.
That is a Ridley Scott joint. God damn it, Brady. That's why you're on the show.
Yeah. I know my commercials.
Yeah. Did I get you on here for movies? No.
No.
Commercials? You're goddamn right.
Who could forget Where's the Beef? Where's the Beef?
My favorite Super Bowl, was it a commercial or was it the minute halftime? The minute, there was a Super Bowl where they didn't show you anything. It was a one minute of nothing.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
It was just a black screen?
I believe it was a blue screen black then.
And then what came up at the end?
And nothing. There was a counter in the corner, and it was like ticking down. It was like, oh man. And up to that point, after that, it was like the most watched minute in television because nothing was on.
Huh.
Yeah, you don't remember that.
No.
Well, thanks for taking the energy out of this whole goddamn segment,
yeah,
Brady.
Yeah, for sure.
Appreciate
absolutely.
That. As we said, thank you, Dan Telfer, for joining us for Movies That Made Us segment, talking about the movie Alien. That was a lot of fun. Now this is the part of the movie where this is the part of the show, I'm sorry, where we review a movie. This week we chose, and by we I mean me, chose the movie Noah, directed by Darren Aronofsky. Now, if you have not seen the movie Noah, yes.
What other movies did Darren do?
God, see that? See that? You're like the Thelma to my Louise right now, son. That's what's up.
Wait, we're driving over a cliff? What?
Well, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, Brady.
I have to
Jesus
hold your
Christ,
hand?
Man. Jesus, bro. People haven't seen Thelma and Louise. You're the Joe Piscopo to my Eddie Murphy.
Oh.
Ooh, do you like that? You weren't expecting that one, baby. You know?
I didn't know I was classy.
Darren Aronofsky, director of movies Pie.
Oh, yes, yes.
Darren Aronofsky also directed the movie Requiem for a Dream.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
Also directed the movie The Wrestler.
Oh, yes.
Also directed the movie Black Swan.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah. Not a bit from that reaction.
Well, I didn't see any of those except for The Wrestler. So here's my impression of The Wrestler.
Okay. Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Brady is brilliant impressionist.
All I know is wrestling.
Scene.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. At one point during this review, I might ask for your impression of whatever your favorite scene was from Noah, but we won't go there yet.
All right.
We won't go there yet.
All right.
As I mentioned, Darren Aronofsky directed all those movies. Oh, he also directed The Fountain, which was with Hugh Jackman.
The Ayn Rand movie. Or Ayn Rand, the Ayn Rand book.
No, the Iron Man movie. No, you're right.
I am Iron Rand.
I am Ayn Rand.
I am Ayn Rand.
It's my favorite.
Oh, so he directed The Fountainhead. That's
he directed, great. No, it's just The Fountain.
Oh, just The Fountain.
No, it's called The Fountain.
Oh, just The Fountain.
No.
Searching and I can't find just The Fountain.
No.
I'm getting Fountainhead.
Also, well, you're looking, your quotes computer is your sheet of paper in front of you. That is not a computer,
I'm sir. I'm typing in Fountainhead.
He also directed The Fountain. Man, if I had gotten The Fountain, I would have gotten all those right in chronological order. Son of a bitch!
Oh.
That's all right. I'm okay. I'll sleep well
tonight.
Can I
take it again?
I'll sleep well. Lindsay, let's take it from the top of the show. From the top of the show, please.
We have to recall Dan? Running out of minutes.
We'll do Dan's interview with text. We'll just this right, is the first time we've texted a whole segment of the show. And then was his last movie. It came out. It came out in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Darren Aronofsky was a financial success. Noah was a financial success. Made over $300 million. I believe it was budgeted at a little
150.
Over. That is correct, sir.
And so then you kind of double it for the advertising. So it probably cost the studios around $300 million total.
So you would say that this is not a success?
Oh, no, it was a success because I think that 350 number is internationally. Mm-hmm. I think locally it might have made over 200. It might be a $500 million movie at this point.
I think in Echo Park it just made $500 million.
And that's two theaters.
I mean, we're not even getting into the Los Feliz 3 right there. Ladies and gentlemen, that's local humor right there.
Can sit in the Los Feliz 3, if you can sit in the middle theater, you can hear all three movies going on at the same time. The cardboard walls do not keep in Paul Blart Mall Cop.
FYI, just so you know, next week we will be reviewing Paul Blart
Mall Cop. Oh, great! Because I got 2 hours on Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Oh. One of the few times that I have gone to the Los Feliz 3, I went to go see Looper with my best friend Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Brady, you are aware with who aware who Paul is.
Right
well, I mean, he's, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
My real best friend Paul, if I may,
right.
Lindsay.
That
my
hurts.
Real best friend.
That hurts.
We go see Looper at the Los Feliz 3. There are three
Didn't
theaters
I see
in
it
there.
With you?
We did not see that movie together.
All right.
You know, I think
I saw it there.
You came over to my house when I was watching it on Blu-ray once, and we watched some of it there.
Okay.
That is what happened. But we go see Looper at the Los Feliz 3, and I don't know if you can tell from the episodes you listen to, I'm a bit of a movie snob. But this night, I was just like, I just want to see this movie. I don't give a shit. We go see Looper, and we walk into the theater, and Paul is a movie snob in all the great ways. Mm-hmm. Immediately looks at the size of the movie screen and just looks at me with demon eyes. Yeah. Like, how dare you bring me to this
theater? He's an editor. The screen he edits on is bigger than that.
Exactly. Yeah, and that was like, I knew right away. I was like, I know, bro. Your TV is bigger than this screen. Yeah. My TV is bigger than this screen.
All right. Well, you don't
get
have to
off
brag.
My back. Well, I'm just saying, I make big screen TV money. I mean, is it wrong for me to say that? Is that wrong?
No, it's correct.
Is it incorrect?
It just hurts.
Is it not a fact, Brady?
No, it's a fact.
Thank you. You've been to my house. You've been to my apartment. I like to say house.
I like to call it a studio TV.
So we watched Noah this week, and just so you know, spoilers will be happening during this review. If you have not seen Noah, it is available on Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, hey, you know what? Go ahead and pick up a copy of that Bible you got, because that story is all up in there. That story is all up in there. Noah, Darren Aronofsky's Noah, it tells the story of Noah building the ark. The great flood comes that takes over, that washes across the whole Mother Earth, washes away all of humanity. But this version of Noah the Explorer.
Nordy.
I mean, come on, Darren Aronofsky. If you want that children's paper, call it Noah the Explorer. That's where you get that money at. This version of Noah, I want to get some things off, put some things out there right away. Was I a churchgoer growing up? Yes. Do I remember a lot of that stuff? I do not. And I'm only getting into the religious aspect of it because this is a quote-unquote religious movie that they do take liberties with. Liberties that I actually really enjoyed. I thought they were a plus to the movie. But I did not watch this movie in the sense of like, oh, hey, wait a second. That's not how it was written down, or that's not what they said in church. But that was kind of the controversy surrounding this movie. Mm-hmm. He takes the story of Noah, and he really kind of goes, would you agree with me, Brady? He kind of goes like the action route with it.
No. No, I would not.
You would not say that. No, really.
Well, no. He did. Well, first of all, are there rock people in the Bible? Transformer rock people.
I don't know, but that was one of the first things where I was like, "Oh, I'm into this."
Yeah, I suppose. Well, the action part of the Bible. Yeah, I mean, he certainly didn't. He wasn't. He quoted as saying it's the least Bible movie,
that's
or
right.
The least accurate Bible movie. I mean, I think he.
Yes.
You know, they're telling a story, and there was a lot of hot action on there.
There is, and from what I know, the story of Noah. Not being that familiar with it in the Bible, I really thought that he was kind of. I went into it thinking Noah was this very peaceful man who did not even have a family. I mean, I didn't even consider the fact that he had a family, that did not have a family, that at one point God spoke to him one night and was like, hey, this thing is coming. You need to prepare for it. Get all of these animals and you'll be fine.
See, I think
That's the story of Noah that I kind of,
right.
Whether or not that's in the Bible, that's what I just assumed it was.
My story in Noah was always, you do things in your life, and you can always wipe them out and start over.
Okay.
And I thought that I thought the movie Noah did a good job of explaining all of that. Like that he was just, even his son, who goes, you know,
His son Shemp?
The son who is helping the king back to health at the end.
Yes.
The king goes, oh, you want revenge? And he goes, no, I don't. He goes, yes, you do. You want revenge. Well, you know, that's his son being challenged with wanting revenge and then at the end saying, oh, I'm not going to give in to revenge and I'm going to, you know, kill the king.
Yeah.
And I thought that movie took a lot of the moralities of the Bible in that story and did a good job of saying this is what it's about. He has to kill women and children and men, but he's doing it because he's wiping that all out and starting fresh. And that's what you can do.
And I
in life.
You can start fresh at any moment. You can wipe it all out.
No, I like that aspect of it, and that is an intriguing storyline to me. I guess that's just not what I was expecting. You know, I wasn't things happened in this movie that that were just coming out of left field for me. Right off the bat, the rock monsters.
Rock monsters.
And I mean, they're not rock monsters. They are fallen angels from heaven who have to live the remainder of their, I don't want to say lives, but the remainder of their existence as these kind of like rock creatures, these rock formations.
Right. And they have a history with his great grandfather.
Yes.
His great grandfather, fat boy, what's his name?
Hannibal Lecter.
Russell Crowe's. his great grandfather took the rock people away from bad people.
Yeah,
right. They were basically the African slaves.
Yes,
but they made them rocks so people weren't offended.
Yes, that is correct. And this might be partly again because I'm not very familiar with my Bible. I just wasn't aware of those things. So as I was watching the movie, I just kept questioning, like, oh, shit, is that right? Was it like that? Is that what was going on?
No, the answer is no.
I found that out after the fact,
yeah.
But that would kind of get in the way of me, like, enjoying the movie.
Oh, you
could. Or just, like, or I was doing so much detective work while the movie was happening that I wasn't always taking in the story as a moviegoer.
So hearing you say that makes me think that the movie didn't do their job of letting you escape. Right? That's like watching a comic and going, wait a second, the Bears didn't win in 1996. It's like, oh, if you're thinking of that, then the comic isn't doing the good job of being funny enough to let you not question that or make you think of that. So.
Yeah, no. For me, there was definitely issues where it took me a second to get on board with what they were saying. I would be like, wait, this is what's happening right now?
Right.
Like, there's Noah at one point during the movie, he starts to go, the burden of everything that he has to do starts to kind of drive him crazy to the point where he's going to kill any children that are born anew on this on the ark,
right?
Because he feels
female.
He's going to kill the females
if they're born. If his daughter, his stepdaughters, essentially babies are born a woman or born women, then he would kill them.
Yes.
Or in his words, I will cut her down.
that is correct, and a hell of a Russell Crowe impression.
Thank you so much.
Did the movie?
I loved it, by the way.
Did you really?
I really did.
You were all in.
Uh huh.
Oh, okay.
First, God made Noah, and he saw that it was good.
And you were right away. You were transported.
No, not right away.
Okay,
because you and I watched the first half together.
Yes,
and I was like Noah, more like boring. And then at the end, I was Noah, more like Yessa.
Yeah, you were feeling it.
Yeah, I really did like it, and I liked the story was, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then and, you know, so it wasn't the greatest storytelling, but it was, and it was a lot of telling and not showing, you know, because it's like the rock people were. Remember that scene where he's walking along and he's like, you know, it's so CGI'd, and then he's telling the story of the rock people, and they're showing flashbacks.
Yes,
I prefer just to see it and not be told.
Yes.
But other than that stuff, I loved it. And I loved his inner struggle of all this stuff. And
I like
the take they took on the Bible.
I like the idea, because I've never thought of that angle of, oh yeah, this guy has this responsibility and this kind of responsibility for the whole human race, from the person or from whatever the being might be that created all of it. That could drive you crazy. You might not just be initially inclined to be like, oh, God, you're telling me this? All right, I will do good by you. It might kind of break your spirit.
Oh, sure.
Or break
especially
your mind. I like that a lot.
Especially when you don't know if this God is challenging you.
Absolutely.
Is he challenging me to not kill my daughters?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he challenging me to kill my daughters? Is he challenging me to make this boat, not make the boat? It's a constant burden, which is, you know, I felt his son really betrayed him, too.
Ha. And I did those character traits that you're talking about. I was wondering like why is Darren Aronofsky making this movie? Like, this is so, like, he's made the movies that he's made, like I said, The Wrestler, they're movies that don't have any kind of like, all right, yeah, those movies are going to lead you to this religious epic. Why the hell are you doing it? And then I read
it. Well, they're internal struggles. The Wrestler, too, internal struggle.
Yeah, I see that the problem that I had with Noah, and we can start doing our best and worst part.
Okay.
The worst part that I had with this movie was, I think it was very miscast. I think the movie was very miscast because it was
very... Russell Crowe wasn't the first choice.
Who was the first choice?
Well, shoot, I know.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
I know. Like Nicky Cage's name came up there, but I think it was offered to two people before, and then Russell was the third, and then he was the one that had the time to do it.
I had a very, for as much as I like this idea, I didn't buy the way Russell Crowe was delivering the kind of mental snap where, you know what, I'm going to have to. If a female child is born on here, I will have to kill that child. I will sacrifice everything to the point where I know I'm doing wrong to do God's will, what he wants me to do. Like whenever, and I watched the movie, we watched it the one time, and I was like, while I was watching it, I was like, I don't know what's going on
here.
And then I watched it again, and I was like, yeah, I'm not buying this. And then I watched it a third time to make sure.
6.5 hours of your life. 7 hours. Full work day.
I better get a check from you, Darren. I just couldn't get on board. I couldn't buy the mental snap that he had where he became this person who will kill my own family.
They didn't do a good job. They didn't do a good job of showing point of view.
Yes.
They didn't do a good job of showing his point of view.
When it happens in the movie, I'm always like, wait, now he's this guy? As opposed to, oh, okay, he's been pushed to this point.
Well, you just got to my favorite part, which is when God makes the rain stop, or AKA stops crying, which is how rain starts.
Blame it on the rain.
And then Fat Boy says he's going to kill the baby if it's a girl. His exact words were, "I'll cut her down." That's when the turn happens. So God basically said, yes, kill the children, we'll stop the rain, you got it right. And that's, to me, that's probably when the second story happened. But that was, to me, the turn. That's when he was like, oh my God, the rain stopped because of me. God's made the rain stop. I'm on the right track. And you know, now he's stuck with the burden of having to kill his daughters. Mm-hmm. So I think that's when the turn happens for me. Is it enough to be justified? For me, it was. It seems like for you, that wasn't enough for you to... Now he's on top of the boat, petting his daughters with a knife.
Oh yeah. I mean,
you know, that's a turn.
That scene in particular. I mean, yeah, he's holding this knife above his daughter's baby, and I mean the camera's holding there for a minute, and then you think he's going to do it, and then he just slowly comes down and gives this kiss on the baby because he's realizing, you know, the love of life must continue. I get that, and I understand that, but I just wasn't that snap that happens in the character. I was just like, no, now you're just an insane person.
Yeah, see, that's what's
holding a knife over a child and you kiss it. I'm not on board with that.
That's a tough thing in storytelling when you have an outside source who causes that turn. It's hard to. You know, the turn just didn't happen by its own accord. It was something that was just like, oh, we need to make a turn, so let's force this in there.
Yeah.
You know, that felt a little forced.
Okay.
But yeah, it was, it's a hard thing to justify when it's that kind of storytelling, I suppose, when it's like a superior being forcing this hand on him and Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I bought into it. I see how totally you couldn't.
Well, what did you not buy into? What was your worst part of this movie, or parts that you didn't enjoy?
Yeah, what I didn't enjoy is the kid helping the king. You know, it's like, come on, kid, your dad's going through some tough times.
Yeah,
he doesn't need this crap from you. But that story was told because he was squashing. He ended up killing the king at the end of the sun because he needed to stop his revenge against his father and accept what his father was doing as stressful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, dad might need a break.
Hey, can dad get a break, please?
What was yours? What was your least favorite part?
I think the movie was very miscast.
All of them, even not Natalie Portman.
Exactly. I would have preferred Natalie Portman in that role. I thought Russell Crowe was miscast. I thought Jennifer Connelly was miscast. I have not been a fan of Ray Winstone, who plays, he's kind of like the villain of the movie, King Tubal Cain.
Do you know, in the Bible, they're brothers, Tubal Cain and Noah. And they didn't do a good job. And that would have been great, right?
Yeah.
So that's when he finishes. The king's sentence, and he finishes it because they're not brothers, cousins, I think, in the Bible. Because he knows that because he grew up with them.
Yeah, it just...
He knew what he was going
to
say.
It just did not work for me, so that was very hard to...
Would have worked if they would have made it a family member, if they would have been like, the king is coming back to kill his only brother, Noah.
I mean, the stakes are higher that way, for sure. The stakes are definitely higher that way, so I think I might have been more invested emotionally. I really did have such an issue with the casting of everybody that it was hard for me to believe... motivations.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's...
that's that, right. That, that I mean, was what kind were of, the motivations?
Yeah, 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 that, right, that, right. That was kind of a struggle for me. What was your... we'll do your least favorite part, and then we'll do my favorite part.
Well, I just did mine, which was the kid.
Oh, just the kid. The just kid just not feeling that. Okay.
Well, the kid helping the king. That specific thing was just like, I didn't want him to do that.
Yeah. Now, as far as parts of the movie that I enjoyed... I love when a director just fucking goes for it. And the fact that this movie has rock creatures in it that I was not aware of.
That's right.
His representation, I mean, you kind of get a visual representation of what God looks like in this movie. And I liked that. I mean, it's the same way that I like in Tree of Life, where you get this representation of what the creation of life was. I think that was a pretty like bold choice. And I liked it a lot. I like the aspect of taking a religious story and making it kind of an action movie.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with like we talked about this movie very briefly not that long ago, Apocalypto, where I thought the movie was going to be one thing, and then it's like, oh, you're doing this with that story. Okay, I like that. I don't know if the beats always hit, but I admire you trying to do something like that. You know, the visualization of how the flood happens, I thought that was great. There's a great shot where you just see the planet Earth and there's just all these tornado clouds. I mean, I was like, oh, cool. All right.
Those tornado clouds weren't they the rock creatures going up into the sky? They were being taken out of the sky, and then that's when you saw what those clouds were caused by them going into heaven, and they were spinning into heaven. So their spirits were being spun. And then that's when they pulled away and showed the tornado.
Yes,
tornadoes are caused by rock people. Tornado, I didn't even know that.
If you watch Twister, that's a movie about gods. Shout out to Jan de Bont. What was your least favorite part, which was the sun? Did we do your favorite part?
Favorite part was the one where he said he's going to kill the baby girl.
You liked that.
When the rain stopped and all that, and he was forced with saying, I'm going to kill, if it's a girl, I'm killing it. And that was a fun turn. And then when the rain stopped, and that's when that all happened. But since Dan Telfer brought up a MacGuffin.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
A MacGuffin, like R2-D2.
My favorite sandwich at McDonald's.
Or the orb in Guardians of the Galaxy, something where... It's a storytelling trick where you make something important. In this particular case, it was the snake skin.
Yes.
Dan would have enjoyed that.
Yeah.
A snake skin is given by his father to a fat baby Russell Crowe. Then father murdered. and then Snakeskin taken by the person who murdered his father, and then the rest of the movie he's going back to get the Snakeskin. Again, the Snakeskin has nothing to do with the story, but it makes us feel like, oh, a connection.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
that's kind of fun.
The movie does have it has a great book ending to it. It starts off with one scene, and as you say, the Snakeskin, and then at the end, the Snakeskin is returned.
I also enjoyed. Remember the they're knocking out all the animals. Right?
Yeah,
but they're not wearing masks.
The people or
the
animals?
Yeah, the people aren't wearing masks.
No, not at all.
They're knocking out. They're spraying this stuff, you know, pesticide, mm-hmm. and they're not being affected by it. And then they have these privacy curtains that they close for the animals. It's like, we're gonna stack two of everything in here, but you know, you're gonna be able to shut the curtain when you need to change your clothes, Mr. Snake. Like, what are the privacy curtains blocking out sunlight so they can't sleep? They're stacked, you know, 17 high.
You would have preferred that the Ark had fitting rooms. Is what
I
you
would
just
prefer. Well, I mean, they kind of had fitting rooms. They had these curtains they shut. I didn't understand that.
Oh, for sure. Oh, great.
And the boat also had like a 5-foot by 5-foot window installed. Did you see that when they're standing in front of this like huge open window on
the
side of the Ark?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Like they installed a huge window in the side of that thing.
I mean, it's late at night. You're on the
That's
water.
Right.
Do you not want
this
a good
be a
view?
Nice place. Put a window here.
Oh, that's great. Now, Brady, at the end of our reviews, we have a rating scale here at Wham Bam Pow that goes from 1 being your least favorite to 5. Now, before you give your answer here, on a scale.
3.5.
No, we're not Brady.
What did you say?
I clearly said, hold on a second, please.
Okay.
On a scale of. I said. 2 of you, some of y'all animals got to go to 5. How many? I said 2 of you, some of y'all animals got to go out of 5.
Yeah.
Would you give Noah?
I would. You were talking about the. Do you remember the two birds, the things that looked like doves were flying in there? Remember that part?
Yes.
Where they're just like flying in there.
Yeah. A lot of the animals are based on real animals, but I'm pretty sure that with every animal, he made sure that it was not an actual animal. He like took like a cow
and kind of did something to it. It looked like they were doves, but it turned out they were cockatoo of everything.
Yeah, they were. Oh, that made me almost drop my phone. God damn you, Brady.
I'm going to give it 3.5 stars.
Oh,
3.5 stars.
3.5. I said 2 of you, some of y'all animals got to go.
But what's your star? How many stars?
That's the star, Brady.
I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear
the number.
Well, I said
3.5, and then what did you...
3.5. Uh-huh. I said 2.
Uh-huh.
Some of y'all animals got to go.
Got to go.
Out of five. Stars. Did you hear it?
No, I didn't hear it.
Oh, Jesus.
So 3.5.
We're going to start the episode again from the beginning.
So we both did 3.5?
No, that was not me. Mm-hmm. That was not me. My rating scale.
Why didn't the rock people turn and transform into dinghies?
Why wasn't the rock in this movie? First of all, that's what I want to know.
The rock is in this. That's what the billboard said. The rocks are in this, and S was real small.
The only non-CGI element in this movie, Nick Nolte as the rock creature.
And nobody knew how to grab food. Did you see, there was a couple of moments where it was like the claws in that arcade game, but instead of grabbing stuffed animals, they were grabbing mutton.
Oh. Well, my review for this movie, which I did enjoy, as Brady and I watched this movie, Brady would constantly remind me, Jennifer Connelly, she probably stinks real bad.
Everybody on that boat. It just smells.
Probably
there's
smells
animals in there.
So bad.
Oh, my God.
On a scale of 1 to 5, Jennifer Connelly probably smells real bad.
Yeah.
I give this movie 2.5. Jennifer Connelly probably smells real bad.
And then when his son picks up the woman, you know, that gets caught in the bear trap. And
I like that moment a lot.
She was living in that ditch with dead
people.
Oh, for
sure. Oh, surrounded by dead people. The movie, the movie does really good job of hey, there are terrible things that happened during this time when we were trying to get to this goodwill of whatever God, whatever spiritual being you want to believe. And that was one of those moments specifically where she gets caught in this bear trap and you're like, oh man, get this girl out of here. No, actually, we had this ark thing that we got to do that God wants us to do, so she ain't gonna make it.
Same
thing when the ark is finally going across the water and you see this great shot of people on like holding onto their lives on top of like this rock formation.
Yes, yeah. And well, they were stacked, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were stacked as the rock.
Yeah, and Noah and his family are just inside the ark, like twiddling their thumbs, like, yep, well, people are dying out there.
I don't know what the girl was, why his son picked up the girl, what she was to represent, but that was what the great line when he says, she was innocent to her dad. And then Russell had to deal with like, oh boy, yeah, there might have been innocent
whoopsie
people.
Whoopsie daisy. That was a whoopsie daisy. Hey God, whoopsie daisy.
There might
whoopsie
be
daisy.
Innocent people.
So ladies and gentlemen, that's our review of Noah. It's available on Netflix.
Oh, and Instant. If I can.
No, I'm sorry, Brady. We're running out of time.
Okay, all right.
Did you want to say something?
Well, I would just suggest.
I'm sorry. We're running out of time.
Well, okay.
No, but go ahead. One real quick.
Well, I would just suggest if you're going to watch Noah, follow along in the book.
Exactly. You know what? I'm going to give your home address out on Twitter. And
oh, please.
If anything, I would recommend is have Brady Novak come over and watch this movie with you. Because
if they already have my mom's address, they have my address. So just use that one.
Brady, what were you yelling out when we were watching it? Is that how you remember it from the book, Ricky?
I don't remember that.
Oh, God, that was great. Brady, at the end of the show, I'm sorry, as I was saying earlier, check it out on Netflix. I do think it's a movie that's worth seeing, whether you like it or not, or agree with, or whether or not you're a religious person. It's a movie that's worth seeing just because Darren Aronofsky is, he's one of those directors out there where he takes chances, and you can tell that he's personally invested in his movies. So I think it's definitely something worth seeing. And that's what I have to say about that.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
That's the way you should finish every sentence.
And that's what I have to say about that.
Okay, good. We know he's finished.
No, I'm not done yet. I have more to say. I have more to say.
You're free to go, sir.
One final thing I have to say. Brady, on Wham Bam Pow, our final segment of the show is we always have something that we like to leave our listeners with. And it can be, it's really just a moment for you to shine, as the young kids say. Just something, whether it's something you want to promote, Brady, whether just whatever is on your mind, we always give our guests.
Hey, there's a great, I don't even want to call them a charity, but there's a great group called Team Rubicon. USA.com.
Okay.
Rubicon.
Rubicon.
USA.com. And what they do is soldiers come back from Afghanistan and Iraq, and they send them on missions of goodwill.
Okay.
And because they're military folks, they can go to the toughest places, like Chile, like where there might be a earthquake and a tsunami in a rough area, and they can go to those areas, and they're sending these ex-military folks on missions of goodwill. And they're a fantastic group, and they're all over America, and you can get involved or send them money, however you want to do it.
Okay.
And see Ex Machina.
Oh, that's great. I want to make sure that we somehow get that information from you after the show. And we can put that on the
Team Rubicon USA.com.
No,
Team Rubicon USA.com. Team Rubicon USA. Like Chase Bank just gave them $250,000 last year because they're like, yes, you're doing good work.
Is that right?
I love it. And they're located in California, and they were started for a great cause. A friend of mine who took his life from PTSD, and that's when they started it, and I think they're just fantastic.
Fantastic. Well, that's great. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you, Brady.
You're welcome.
Thank
you for letting me
Brady, say that. You're my guy, son. Yeah. You know that. You know that's what's
best friend.
That's what you're saying. Yeah, I said you're my guy. Different.
That's true.
I always like to give a shout out to whether it's a book I'm reading or a song I've heard. And I heard this song recently. There's a podcast called the Stones Throw Podcast. Stones Throw is a group of hip hop artists out here in California. who are fantastic, and they have a podcast, and occasionally that podcast will just be DJs talking. Occasionally that podcast will just be them being like, hey, here's some hot shit that we're into. Mm-hmm. And recently I walked into my apartment. I like to, when I leave my apartment, I like to make sure music is on. So when I come home, I like to walk into music. Makes mm-hmm. me feel good. Mm-hmm. I walked into my apartment and this song was playing. And the first line from the song was, smooth as a motherfucker. And then my ears right away were like, Ricky, pay attention. Mm-hmm. And this is a song called Suede off of the album. I'm going to assume it's called No Worries, but it's spelled NX Worries, all one word. And it's a song about some dude just letting you know how hot his shit is. I'm the shit.
Who's the DJ, do you know? Who's the MC?
Their name's Anderson Pack. But I'm pretty sure it's not pronounced Pack because it's spelled P-A-A-K and Knowledge, K-N-X-W-L-E-D-G-E. Knowledge, I do know who that is. Knowledge is one of the producers on Kendrick's new album.
To Pimp a Butterfly?
To Pimp a Butterfly. And he produced the song called Mama on that album. And this song called Suede is sick. I mean, it's...
Are we about to hear it?
We can't. I'm sure I'll put
when
that shit on Twitter. I'll put that shit on Twitter.
It's called Suede.
It's called Suede.
Look for Knowledge with an X.
Yes, okay. I like ignorant shit. So he says some ignorant shit on here, but the beat is hot. He says all my chicks cook grits.
Mm-hmm. But that seemed like that's like Kanye. It's like if you're smart enough. If you're smart enough to know what you're doing, then you're making fun of it.
Yes. Yeah. This song is very much in that line. Brady, God damn it.
Right?
A pleasure.
It's as good as it gets.
A pleasure.
That's next week. As good as it gets.
Next week we'll be reviewing As Good As It Gets. We will be back. Cameron will be back in the hizzy for shizzy. And I believe we'll be reviewing Hot Fuzz. The Edgar Wright joint, Hot Fuzz, which is available on Netflix Instant. Thank you very much, Brady, for joining us in studio. Fantastic. Shout out to my boy, Dan Telfer, for joining us as well. Thank you to our wonderful producer, Lindsay. I always like to mention, her hair is on point. Lindsay is the shit. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Max Fun headquarters. And that's what's up. You my guy, you my boy, we gonna be all right.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.